Across the Desk
with Clement Manyathela
on 702.
So I told you earlier that on Across the Desk this morning, we're going to be exploring and really celebrating African music. I want to be a student this hour. I want my guests to help me understand more just the history of our music. We have such a distinctive texture in our African music, and we've got diverse cultures, you know, regions, and the influence is there. And I'm so glad that lately we're beginning more and more to appreciate that original, authentic African sound. And I want us to spend this hour learning more about that sound, learning more about that African beat. And I've got two guests in studio joining me. We've got Richard Mwamba, who is the African music presenter here on 702. Mr. Mwamba, thank you for coming.
Well, thank you for inviting me, Clement. Yeah. And by the way, I always say to people, you pronounce my surname as Mwamba. You're like a Mwamba.
Oh, Mwana.
Mwamba.
It says Mwamba. Mwamba.
Aha.
Ah, lovely. Thank you so much for that. Thank you for coming.
That's
in.
Okay.
I really
because
appreciate it.
You see, a lot of Mwambas as Zambian or Congolese.
Yeah.
So it sort of takes me away from my place of birth.
Yeah. Once we say Mwamba,
sure.
We also have Dr. Mongezi Mkalime. Thank you for making time, Dr. Mkalime.
Thank you, Mantle.
And you guys understand music very well. You've been in the creative sector for about 18 years. Mr. Mwamba, you have done and listened and really concentrated on this kind of music for so long. What is it about you? What is it about this music that you appreciate so much?
I think in my case, I just enjoy showing the diversity of the music. Because a lot of people think that African music sounds the same.
Mm.
So literally, whenever I go on air, almost my aim is to show just how different it is.
Yeah.
Northern African music from the Maghreb countries of Tunisia, Algeria, Morocco, Egypt, and then of course the music of Southern Africa, the music of Madagascar, the music of the West, or your Cote d'Ivoire, you know, the Cape Verde, and so on and so on. So you know that richness, that's what I want to literally showcase. So I enjoy proving people that know African music, proving to people that African music is really very diverse. It doesn't sound the same.
Yeah. And for you, Dr. Mkalima?
No, look, I think one thing is it speaks to the genes, eh? Because I think the thing about being African and with music, it's almost like we are really born with it. I hear that when I was about 16 months old, I was already singing and dancing and all of those things. So it's something that actually comes naturally. So when you're now listening to it, because there's a psychology to it as well, the body remembers the beat.
Ooh.
And then you start feeling that beat, because it's actually the beat of the heart if you actually really listen to it. And then everything else in terms of the time signature really starts speaking to that beat. So if you get it, you got it.
Ah, I like that. I like that. Okay, so I asked you guys to also give me some of the songs to play on air. And you're going to start with your song, Mr. Mwamba. Which, by the way, I listened to your show one day and I heard you play this song. And I went and got the album. I got other songs by the group because I was like, my goodness, that is such an incredible song. So thank you for introducing me to this group. Let's start with the song.
Filani tamanga mangu Kau kamba ifamela riana.
So I sing along. I don't even know what they're saying.
The same applies to all of us, as a matter of fact.
So,
you know, because this is in Antandroi, which is one of the, it's not even the main languages in Madagascar.
Yeah.
So, which is why a lot of people, you simply follow the, myself also. Rilani Twamangamando. Sometimes I get the words wrong.
Yeah.
So you just enjoy singing.
You invent your own lyrics. So that's Lanitra Mangamanga, but Salala.
Mm.
What is about the song? Because what you do on your show is you help us understand how the song was written.
Absolutely.
At what point the song was written in that country, the political, how that influenced. So help us understand what, when this song was written, what's the context really around this song?
Well, first of all, it talks about the this clear blue sky, which Madagascar is known for. Mm. But also, it's an advice to friends that look, let us not be enemies. We're here. Well, some they believe that if you want to go to heaven, you have to do something very nice. We must be nice to each other. We must forgive one another, because there are people who go there only saints, according to what they believe. Mm. So literally, it's a song of reconciliation, to try to reconcile people who might have been enemies for a long time.
Yes.
It's a song giving advice. And, if I were to go to Madagascar, mm-hmm. I would look for the family of Sylvestre Randafison, the composer. Well, he died a long time ago in the 1960s. Mm-hmm. But he composed such a song that the people of Madagascar, even people who can't speak Antandroi, they know it. There's a live version that I sometimes play, mm-hmm. where even kids sing along.
Yes.
Because they
how long is that song? Because that's the live version I heard.
Yes.
It sounded so long.
It is, because they play the song itself is about two and a half minutes. But because the crowd, when they want
they
to leave the
stage,
they say, no, come on, give us some more.
Yeah.
And then they have to restart the song, which is why it's a bit longer.
Okay, so yes.
And I think that's what's fascinating about it.
Yeah.
Because the structure of the music itself, the harmonies, lend themselves to people actually wanting to come in.
Yeah.
So if whether you hear it or not, or you hear the words or not, it pulls you in with the harmonies, because the voice is connecting to the center of your spirit there, and then you just want to come in. That's why most of our songs actually don't end, because they're not necessarily designed for radio.
Mm.
They're not designed for broadcasting. Mm. They're designed for celebration and an event in terms of what is happening.
It's like
time.
A spiritual experience.
Yes.
So let's play the song, Abel. Is it Sauti Sol?
Sauti Sol.
Sauti Sol.
Kuliko Jana.
Kuliko Jana. Okay, so we moved from Madagascar, now we're in Kenya.
But listen to the similarities of those songs, first of all, right?
Yeah.
Because we tend to think about music with instrumentation.
Mm.
In both songs, there's absolutely no instrumentation, technically. There's voice only and melodies. And that's the root of our music. The root of our music is essentially showing up, and something happens, and then somebody just jumps and leads a story, and then everybody then just joins in.
Can I just say also that the way that this kind of music makes me feel, there's only gospel music make me feel that way, because I look at it as spiritual.
Mm. Yeah.
But when I listen to this music, it makes me feel like I would, like it's a spiritual experience.
But
it actually is,
because the purpose of music, and you wanted to say something, but the purpose of music in this instance, most of the time, at least in the tradition that I come from, is not so much about singing the music. It is actually about connecting to spirit at that point.
Mm.
And sometimes music is used as a mechanism to actually channel people into different spaces. Personally, whenever I'm feeling very down and I'm feeling very difficult, I have specific songs that I play that actually either lift my soul or otherwise calm me down.
Mm.
Also, I'm not so sure if it was a master's thesis or a PhD thesis that has been published recently. I thought I was going to get myself to read some more about it. Music as therapy.
Mm.
I always say that the people of the Congo, the Democratic Republic of the Congo, would have gone mad had not been for the good music that comes from the Congo.
Yes.
You have to remember that country has been a mess before, when the Belgians were ruling Congo.
Yeah.
After the Belgians were ruling Congo, Patrice Lumumba ruled the Congo for less than a year, and until it was when he was assassinated. Ever since then, more than 4 million people have been killed in the Democratic Republic of the Congo. As we're talking now, someone has been raped, someone has been killed in the eastern part of the DRC.
Yeah.
The only thing that could keep their sanity is music. So now, because a lot of us Africans don't have money to go to a psychiatrist whenever you are sick or whenever you have a problem. The only thing that would heal you and enable you to cope would be music. I have this thing that I do every month, where every month end, that we do the dance edition. And the reason why we do that is because that's what happens in most capitals, in Luanda, in Kinshasa, in Maputo, in Dar es Salaam, and so on and so on. When people get paid, you realize you don't have enough money. But you have enough money to buy beer, and for that moment, you dance, and you are able, that dancing alone is such that it enables you to cope with the life's difficulties, and you're able to continue until the next month, and before you know, years have gone past.
Yeah, and Dr. Makalima, isn't that what's unique about African music? The fact that the music is not ordinarily meant to be consumed alone, so it's always accompanied by some dancing.
Actually, that's not necessarily true, because you can. It depends, because this is the thing, because I like when you bring the because for me, I don't even want to talk about it as a therapeutic piece. I want to talk about it as a spiritual. So let's go back to the spirit. Because what we tend to do in a Western frame, we tend to think about the body as our representation of identity. But we are actually spirit presented in the form of body. So what happens with music and the vibration piece of it is it vibrates throughout. So if you sing alone, it's an expression of a sentiment. We'll call it the blues in this instance. A sentiment that says, I am here, I am feeling something, and this is what I'm feeling now. So you will sing it. When you sing it, it sounds... So going back to the therapeutic thing, it comes up. So there's a lot of psychology theory that psychology research that actually has shown that when you say something out loud, you hear yourself, and when you hear yourself, it becomes much more real and manifest, and then you are able to better deal with it as opposed to if it's the noise in your head. So you can sing it alone, and that's usually then the part where. It's usually either sad expressions of your personal situation.
Yeah.
You can have those sad situations then shared where people then come in and join in. But the beauty of what Richard is talking about now, that goes into the beat, because that's another thing that we should actually continue to talk about, is that the beat also starts talking to where are you spiritually. A faster beat is always an indication of excitement and joy and all of that. So it chases, let me put the word, it chases the demons away, right? But a much slower beat actually gets you into a trance and gets you to transcend your body to connect with much bigger spirits of who you are as an identity.
I'll let you in now shortly. I just want to take a quick call from Andile in Alberton and play some voice notes, and then we're going to continue. Andile, good morning.
Good morning, Clement. How are you, sir?
I'm good. What do you want to say?
Clement, I'm actually honored to be speaking to my teacher, Mr. Nwamba. Mr. Nwamba is my teacher at Ashuma. This is Andile Makatin. You know, Mr. Nwamba loved music from while we were still in school. I remember he was our history teacher. He would give us an example of being bombarded. I'll make this example. He said, SAPC will play you a Chico song for the first time. Say, I am Petolo. For the first time, I know. For the fifth time, it's okay. For the tenth time, you jump up and say, hi, Chico, Chico, because why? SAPC keep on bombarding you with this bubblegum music, and you end up enjoying it. And Mr. Nwamba in his car always had a guitar, and I didn't understand that. Up to until he left teaching, I think it was 93, then he went to some radio station, SAPC site, and that's when I developed the love of African music. I listened to his show every Saturday. Mr. Nwamba, thank you so much. Thank you so much for the input. We still talk about you with some of the guys like Kutuano Ramila. Unfortunately, some have passed on, your innocent Mchagas. But for your input, thank you so much, Mr. Nwamba. We really appreciate it.
Don't make me emotional.
That's wonderful.
But,
that's wonderful.
Just to add it to what Andile was saying, because I used to teach English and I'll teach poetry.
Yeah.
And poetry is supposed to be set to music. As you know, some of the songs are actually poems that have been turned into songs. Mm. And so there was one song that I used to teach, I think it was called Crossing the Bar, and I would bring the guitar and literally I would play and the key, where the students would then recite the poem and I would play the guitar and also turn the poem itself into a song. So that was my experience as a high school teacher. I will never forget that. And so thanks so much, Andile, for bringing those memories back. I miss my teaching days.
Yeah. You miss your students. Here's a voice note that's also come through.
Clement, just greet my Richard Mwamba. Hey, he makes my day every Saturday evening, when he talks about the history of the African continents. And then he puts the songs like Manga Manga and all that. He should keep it on. Keep it on, man. We like you. This is Peacemaker from Forsberg.
Good morning, Clement, your team and my fellow listeners. Yes, Sir Richard Mwamba, playing La Sandra from Madagascar. One of my favorite groups. I even bought a CD, The Best of African Connections. Pete Clement won't know that. Mr. Richard Mwamba is the one that made me fall in love with most of the groups in African continent when he was still with that other radio station. Mm. I even followed him to 702. Thank you, Mr. Richard Mwamba. And he's multilingual, eh? Clement, you cannot gossip about him.
That's wonderful. That's really wonderful. Robin on Twitter says, oh, Clement, thank you so much to your guests. That's such an incredible music, an incredible song. I've downloaded the whole album after listening to that one song. That's Salala.
Wow.
By Salala. Listen, I've got the album and I watch them live now because I heard it on Richard Mwamba's show. It was beautiful. And then Karabo Kholeng says, oh, thank you to your guests. This show is really unbreaking my heart. And then Robin says, I don't want to get out of the car. I'm loving this. Well, I've got two more songs coming up, so you don't want to go anywhere. It's 11:30.
On 702.
24 minutes before 12 o'clock. My goodness, so much to learn about our African music, the African beats, how we consume African music. And I've got two more songs that I'm going to play for you guys. First of all, though, I want us to talk about the importance of the African languages and the music and how they help us connect with our African culture. Maybe let me start with you on that.
Yes. I think they play a very important role.
Mm.
Well, in Africa, we've got what, more than 2,000 languages?
2,500.
That's a lot of languages.
Wow.
But imagine you come from a French-speaking country or a former Portuguese-speaking country. Now, the French and the Portuguese had this assimilation policy that they had. In other words, you became French or you became Portuguese, meaning that you had to discard your language and your culture as well.
Mm.
What protected the languages in Francophone Africa and in Lusophone Africa was music. Because the music itself was always recorded in the native languages of, say, Gabon, Ivory Coast, Senegal, and so on and so on.
Mm.
Because that's not what the French wanted. The French wanted everybody to become French.
And adopt the culture.
Yes. And so, and that's not what the Portuguese also wanted as well. So they play a very, some of the language, my own native language is Tonga, Ronga. It's one of those that are threatened because right now there are less than 1 million people speaking Tonga or Ronga in northern KwaZulu-Natal and that area of southern Mozambique and up to Maputo. Mm-hmm. It used to be one vibrant language, but it's, you know, we with globalization, now people in Mozambique are learning English, starting to learn English. So literally, without the music protecting our languages, they'll die.
Gee, so it's preserving that culture.
I mean, if you look at the Brazilians, and they've done it very well, for example, because now, when you now speak about, I mean, I work quite a lot now in the jazz space, more than anything. If you start listening to Brazilian jazz, most of it, Antonio Carlos Jobim and all of those, is in Brazilian and Portuguese language most of the time. But most of the time, they maintain that. But what I like about what Richard is saying is also the whole idea that if you look in the east of Africa, Kiswahili, there's also something about wanting to communicate with each other. And so Kiswahili, the two songs that the two songs that played now, Sauti Sol, and then the one that I just gave, that we will play a little later, are all in Kiswahili. However, they are coming from different parts of the continent in that piece. So that's also quite important.
That's really fascinating.
Just to add a little bit, Clement, the issue of Kiswahili is very, very important.
Yes.
And it is said that one of the reasons why our development here in Africa has been retarded for such a long time is because we don't learn in our mother tongue.
Yes.
So literally, if the Kiswahili could be adopted as a mother tongue, as it is in East Africa and in Central Africa, people can start learning, using a language that they've spoken ever since birth, literally. Yeah. And now take it into a science language, just like the Japanese are doing, the Koreans are doing, and that's why, and the Chinese are doing. So that's why when you're Chinese, you don't have to start by learning a language first before you know something that is scientific.
Yeah.
Because you're using the language that you used from birth.
Yeah.
And so the main aim of most African countries now is to try to elevate, which is why I read that here in South Africa now they'll start teaching Kiswahili. So if that language could be elevated to a status of a first language, then people, and then made into a scientific language where you learn your biology or whatever mathematics you've done, then there could be a lot of inventions, because then you didn't have to start by learning a language to invent something. Your brain, it's so tuned up that you can now invent new things because you've mastered the language from the very beginning. I don't need to learn another language to invent using that language.
Yeah, no, indeed. On that note, let's play Sauti Sol. Oh, wow. That's what a song. So this is not Sauti Sol. We played that earlier. this is Birima.
We'll forgive you, Clement, because you're not a music
person.
That's
what I do when I don't come on Saturday.
No, I think the listeners understand that.
Yeah, so this is by Yusunduru.
Yusundur. Yeah.
Senegal.
He's the poster boy of Mbalax music.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Mbalax music is the music of the... Well, I wouldn't say... Well, the dominant ethnic group is the Wolof. But that's, if you had to go to Dakar, you know, to Port Louis, to a Ziguinchor in Senegal, this is the kind of music you hear. But he's literally the most successful artist ever to come from Senegal. I'm talking about Yusundur. He used to be a competitor who Chion Sek, who died sadly very recently. And it's so much so that the government there had appointed him as Minister of Arts of culture and tourism as well. And I kept hoping, please fail, just so you should go back to music, because anybody can become a politician, but not everybody can become. He failed. He did. People, you know, politics is completely
different on the continent. Yeah. But did he go back to music?
Yeah, of course, he's now performing. So all of us said, yay, we're glad you're not on
the That's why he failed, because you guys were wishing
exactly.
He failed. Okay, here's the next song by Dr. Makalima. This one is. Is it
Walewatu?
Walewatu by Kajo Nui. Let's hear that. Kajanini. So this is
Walewatu.
Walewatu. I've just I asked you what the name of the album where the song comes from is, because I know the song, but I want to listen to the entire album when I drive home today.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Tell us more about the song.
In fact, your car is gonna be vibrating.
Yeah.
Because the I think the difference between is actually we were talking off air with Master Richard here.
Yeah.
It's almost like we planned this thing. We spoke before the show because. And if you notice, the first song that he gave, the first song I gave you, and the song we just played now, the first song was just harmonic and it had no instrumentation.
Mm.
But this one has instrumentation and very bass informed, right?
Mm.
Because that's the thing, is that our music can have instrumentation. It can have modern instrumentation without necessarily losing the essence and the culture.
Mm.
Because what this song is, earlier we were talking about how you could speak, you don't have to join. You can sing in a singular voice about your own complaint.
Mm-hmm.
That's essentially what this song is about.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's saying, why are you people complaining so much?
Mm.
Why are you looking for charity?
Mm.
There's so many other problems in the world, and you are sitting here complaining. It's actually somebody walking around in the house just observing life.
Mm.
And that's what this song is about.
Mm.
Oh.
But also the issue of Kiswahili again.
Mm.
I mean, if you look at where Burundi is, and look at where Rwanda is, look at where DRC is, look at where Tanzania and Kenya.
And Congo.
Yeah. Mm. Yes, the DRC. So, and Uganda and so on. Literally, they've adopted this language as their own language.
Yes.
It's a language of trade. It's a language of communication, but it's a language of education now. Mm. Julius Nyerere, the founding president of Tanzania, he was the biggest promoter of this language, which is why even the African Union itself has adopted it as one of the official languages to be used, along with Arabic and French.
Mm.
And the only African language to be used, by the way, along with Portuguese, French, and English, as well as Arabic. So that tells you that Africans themselves are aware of the importance of this language.
Mm.
Because for trade, for this country, for this continent to prosper, it needs to trade more.
Mm.
And if you can speak and communicate with each other using a common language, then you'll make more business together.
Yeah. There is this thing, for example, I think if we go quickly to the political trade thing, because as Mpiwa was speaking about it, and I was kind of excited about it as well. The whole idea that we don't trade with each other, we don't connect with each other, is actually a fallacy that's driven by having all this conversation in English, which then starts giving us a different narrative.
Mm.
But the Niger River is essentially a connector of the East and the West of Africa in many ways, such that a lot of the stuff that has been happening in the East of Africa, you will find also in Nigeria and in Senegal and connecting all of it in terms of the trade.
Mm.
But the other thing is, once we start owning our language, we actually own the root of the storytelling.
Mm.
Because a lot of these songs, and we don't talk about it, is about the stories that essentially perpetuate the culture.
Mm.
And if we listen to the stories, we actually are able to learn what are the things that are important for us as a people.
I mean, we recently signed the Africa Free Trade
absolutely, right? Absolutely. I think next time when we invite us, have another 1 hour with us, and then we'll talk about the functionality of African music.
Yes.
You see, we'll talk about why Africans are the only humans on earth who have music from womb to tomb.
To tomb. Mm. Yeah.
Literally, yeah. Mm. When somebody, there's a song when they say your name is Clement Manyatela.
Yeah.
When they name you, there'll be a song for that.
Yeah.
When you get into puberty, there's a song for that.
Yeah.
When you become an adult, there's a song for that.
Yeah.
When you get married, there's a song. When you die. So literally, from when you're born up to death, we're the only ones on earth. You have to remember that Africans have given, and this our only boast to when it comes to human beings, that our greatest contribution to human culture has been music. Today, it's rock and roll, blues, jazz, whatever genre you can think of that's popular, it has its roots in African music.
Yeah. I mean, you spoke earlier about gospel, sorry.
Yeah, no problem.
You spoke earlier about gospel. I was going, oh yeah, well, actually it comes from here too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Jazz comes from here too.
Mm-hmm.
Everything comes from here.
Yeah. There was a story about John Lee, the late Ali Farka Touré from Mali.
Mm.
Now, Ali Farka Touré was invited to go to Louisiana in the United States of America. And in the show, there was John Lee Hooker. John Lee Hooker is this blues man, this big American John Lee Hooker. So he starts playing. And as soon as he starts playing, the late Ali Farka Touré jumps up and says, hey, he's playing the music of Mali.
Yes.
And he said, no, that's not the music of Mali. That's the blues.
Yes.
No, This is the music of the. This is the music of the Tamashek people of Mali. Yes. So, to them, and that has been taken to America through slavery and so on and so on. So, so literally, that was to illustrate. There's another band called Tinaruen as well. Mm. When they play, you think you're listening to a rock and roll band. You listen to a Tuareg band from both Niger, from because they straddle all these borders from Algeria, from all these other and the music they gather together and they've got generators. This Honda generators because they're in the desert. Yes. And they play these guitars. You think they're listening to a rock and roll concert, and yet it's that traditional music which today is called rock and roll.
Yeah, and it comes from
because
here.
One of the things we haven't spoken. Hey, there's so much to talk about.
Part two of this.
Yeah, because the tarab music.
Absolutely.
Right? If you take tarab music, is the East African music that essentially comes from North Africa, feels very much like rock and roll. But the beautiful thing is about most of them are love songs. I have a friend of mine who, because most, I think this is one of the things we also need to talk about at some point, why most of our music is not recorded and preserved in recording. Because we need to be so proud of it that wherever we show up, it's documented there. So tarab music, there's so much of tarab music that's not documented, and if we can document it, there's so much we can learn about who we are.
Yeah.
Just to add a bit of it, I'll be very quick. I promise. Because I got excited whenever they talk about tarab music.
Yeah.
That this actually started when the Sultan of Zanzibar he had a wedding. And so he invited a band from Egypt to come and perform at his wedding.
Yes.
And then it became the norm among the elite and the rulers of, you might remember that Zanzibar was ruled by Arabs before the revolution. And so whenever those elites would have a wedding, they would invite a band from Egypt until someone said, come on, this is so expensive. Why can't we have a local version of tarab music, which is sung in Kiswahili, not in Arabic? And that's how it was born. And of course, one of the things about, which is so funny is that women would use tarab music to advise the bride on what to do because you here you are, this is your first night, you've never been married, but you're a virgin, you don't know how to do. You know, so literally, they didn't want the men to hear how they're advising what she should do. But unfortunately, the men happened to be instrumentalists, so they had to be part of the band. While the women would sing about all these things, the men themselves would have to play so they would hear what that the secret is.
Wow. We're going to do part two. Are you guys committing to coming back?
No, we're ready for you.
Okay, we're going to do that. Let's play this voice note.
Clement, it's Coley and Ranbeck. This kind of show or guest, it's wonderful. There's a lot of stresses and depressing events happening. So I think, you can do this kind of stuff more regular. Lovely show.
Yeah, we're going to have them back, I promise. Another listener says, hi, Clement, it's Barutile here, and I'm so loving those guests right now. The passion, the love that they have for the African language, the music is just inspirational. And then Mashilo says, hi, Clement, the best interpretations from your guests make so much sense. I've been listening to Zoe Modiga lately, and my spirit and soul is so content. Zoe Modiga is one of my favorite artists. I'm listening to her lately as well. Thank you so much for making time. Thank you for having us. And we will get Sia to contact you guys to come back for part two, because I want to learn some more, and I'm sure the listeners want that too.
Absolutely. Cool.
Thank you so much. It's 3 minutes before 12.